Dear God and Father, we thank you that you are God over all things. We thank you that you are sovereign, which means that you have all power and that you have power over everything. I thank you that we have your word and that we can look at it tonight. So I pray, dear God, that you would help me as I speak, that I would speak only those, say only those things which are true and which are helpful for the people who've come here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so tonight we're wrapping up the series on choices. And basically the scripture that we've been looking at as we've gone through that series was Hebrews 11. Okay, in Hebrews 11, we've looked at a number of biblical characters because it's a passage that looks back over the history of Israel and identifies all these different historical figures who did some amazing things and who made some amazing choices. A couple of them that we might mention, people like Moses. Okay, so if you think about Moses, what's the first thing that you think of? What's the first event that you think of when I say the name Moses? That's the one. Okay, him opening the Red Sea and then the whole of the people of Israel going through the Red Sea. And so you imagine, you know, this massive wall of water on one side and this massive wall of water on the other side being held up by some invisible force. And so Moses, you can imagine Moses and the people of Israel had to have a lot of trust in God to be able to walk through those towering walls of water. Another one is Noah. What was the amazing thing that Noah had to do that would have tested his faith? Does anyone know? Rachel. He had to build an ark. That was it? Yeah, he had to build an ark. Which was like, what was an ark? What's an ark? Jesse. Yeah, it's like a huge ship. That's it. And what went in the ark?
Put animals in there.
Yeah, he put animals in there, a whole heap of animals, and there were people as well.
Well.
That's it. There were people as well. Okay, so that's how he saved mankind from that terrible tragedy. So he had to have a lot of trust and a lot of faith in God to just go ahead and build this enormous ark, because God had told him that it was going to flood. But at that stage, there hadn't even been any rain. They hadn't seen any rain at all. And so he was told that there was going to be this big flood, that the rains were going to open up from the sky and from the earth. He'd never seen it, and yet he went ahead and he built that ark. Now, God hasn't asked us to do anything amazing like that. He hasn't asked us to build an ark or to walk through the Red Sea as it parts before us. But we do have some verses in the Bible that give us some direction, okay? It gives us some advice as the sorts of things we should do. Because what God asks us to do in the Bible is to entrust our lives to him, okay? And it says here, trust in the Lord. These are actually words of Solomon. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And so to trust in God, as Solomon tells us to do here, you need faith. You need faith and you need belief. And they're the two things that we're going to be talking about tonight, faith and belief.
And if you don't believe in God, you get nowhere in life.
Well, that's true. That's very true. Okay, so as we've gone through this series, we've talked a lot about faith. We've talked a lot about faith. And we've said over and over again, you need faith. Now, you might have been sitting here listening to that and you might have been thinking, well, okay, yes, I acknowledge I need faith. But how do I get it? How do I get that faith? And the Bible actually helps us with that as well. There's another verse here in Romans that's in the New Testament. And they're words of Paul, who was a great missionary, and he said, Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Okay, so you've got... It's a little bit confusing when it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You might be a little bit confused by the grammar there, but basically what it's saying is that faith comes by hearing the word of God. We need to read it, we need to dwell on it, meditate on it, and faith will come from doing that. So that's a really practical thing that we're taught there. So we need to listen to God's word. We need to listen to God's word either when someone's reading the Bible to you or when someone is giving a talk, like what I'm doing right here. I'm explaining a passage to you. Or even when you're reading it yourself, because when you're reading the Bible yourself, you are thinking about the things that are in the Bible. And if the Holy Spirit is working, it's like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you need to listen to him. So that's how you get faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in Hebrews, we've seen that we need faith to make good choices in our lives. That's been the theme as we've gone through. And here in Romans, Paul tells us that we can get that faith by hearing the word of God. But there's also another aspect, another side, that's referred to in the sixth verse of Hebrews. It's the fact that belief in God is also an essential part of coming to God. In Hebrews 11 verse 6 it says, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so you can see there that they're linked. The one who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to believe in God. That's the first thing. We have to believe in God. We have to believe in the God of the Bible. It's not just in the idea of a deity, okay? He's saying you must believe in me. You must believe in me, the God of the Bible. And it's the fact that when something is true, so unless you really believe that something is true, you won't put your faith in it. Okay? I'll say it again. Unless you really believe that something is true, you're not going to put your faith in it. All right? You also need to believe that who you're trusting in actually has the power to be able to do the things that you're trusting them to do. And so I want to actually demonstrate that. Oh, sorry, before I do, I wanted to give an example. Okay, I wanted to give an example. So if Jonathan came up to me and said, hop on, Uncle Ken, I'll give you a piggyback. Okay, if he came up to me and said that, I might believe that he'd try it. I might believe that he'd try it, but I wouldn't believe that he'd be able to do it. Okay, I don't believe that he'd be able to give me a piggyback. Don't try and prove me wrong, Jonathan. Okay? So because I wouldn't believe that he'd be able to do it, I wouldn't hop on his back. I wouldn't hop on his back. When we're talking about God, we're talking about someone who actually has all power. He is all powerful. So when he asks us to do something and to trust him to help us do it, we actually don't have any reason to doubt that he can do it. So if you think about it this way, if I offered to give Jonathan a piggyback, okay, if I offered to give Jonathan a piggyback, he'd have no trouble believing that I could do it. Look at me, I'm huge. He's not that big, okay? I'd be able to do it. And he would know that. He would know that. And he would think, okay, yeah. I'll hop on Uncle Ken's back and he'll give me a piggyback. And so he's able to trust me to do it because he can see that I have the power to do it. I have the power to do it. Now, when we're talking about God, we have an extra element of difficulty brought into it because we can't see God. Okay, we can't see God, and we can't hear God, we can't touch God, we can't smell God. Now, which one have I missed out on?
Yes.
Taste God. We can't taste God. Thank you. All right. When we can see something, when we can touch something, we can smell something, it's a lot easier to trust in it, isn't it? All right? Now, but just because we can't sense God, that doesn't mean he's not there. That doesn't mean he's not there. And it doesn't mean that we can't trust him either. So this is where I'm going to make a bit of a demonstration. So Tion has agreed to come out. I'm going to need a little bit of space here. So I might just move this over a little bit. Okay, so thank you, Tion. Come out here. Okay. Now I'm going to blindfold Tion. Now she was going to be coming up here and I was going to be doing something to her, but she didn't know what, okay? She didn't know that she was going to get a blindfold put on. So thank you, Tio, for coming. You're just going to stand here for a second, okay? Now, Tio, just stand there for a second. Okay. Now, what you need to listen carefully to my instructions. All right? I want you to stand very still. Put your feet together, please. Put your feet together. Okay, just put your feet together. Now, I want you to basically lock your knees in. Or just keep them nice and straight. And now what I want you to do, I just want you to fall backwards as if you're going to fall down on a nice, big, soft, fluffy bed. Okay, so whenever you're ready, I just want you to do that. Just don't worry about anything. Just believe that you'll be okay. Imagine there's a nice, big, fluffy bed behind you. And just fall. Off you go.
You're in front of me.
It's okay. Just trust in me. Just trust in me. Remember, we talked about this. Okay, we talked about this. You're going to do it. I'm going to count to three. Okay, and then you're going to do it. Okay, maybe all of us can count to three. All right. Ready? One, two, three. Guys, all right, you can go back to your seats. All right. Oh, sorry, Tion, come back up here for a second. The other two can stay. Tion, you come back up. All right. Was that an easy thing for you to do, to fall back?
No.
Okay. Why wasn't it easy?
Because I was scared. Because I didn't think anyone would catch me.
You didn't think anyone would catch you? What made you think that there wasn't anyone there to catch you?
Because you were in front of me.
Okay, and you thought that I'd probably be the one.
Yeah.
Okay. So you couldn't see how you were going to be protected. Is that right? All right. All right. Now, all right, thanks. You can go sit down. Now, I think I'm in the way here, so I'll just move myself back. Now, in the end, I should have asked you one more question, Tio. In the end, you did it, didn't you? You did it. Why did you do it in the end? Okay, everyone was telling you to. If everyone told you to jump off a cliff, would you?
Because I trusted you.
You trusted me. Thank you. You trusted me. Why?
Because you're my dad.
That's right. I'm your dad. Okay, you trusted me. All right, well, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. If we parallel that example or that little skit with our relationship with God, you can see, I'm sure, that the fact that we can't sense God, we can't sense him, with our five senses, that does actually make it more difficult to trust and obey him. It does make it more difficult. But just because we can't see him or sense him, it doesn't mean that he's not going to be there to catch us when we fall. It doesn't mean that he's not going to be there. And he's actually promised that he will. It's a promise that's contained in his word. And so what we're asked to do, what God actually asks us to do, is to believe in him. He asks us to believe in him. And he actually demands that we believe in him. He tells us to believe in him. He says, believe in me. Trust in me. And there are major consequences if we don't. If we don't believe in him, if we don't trust in him. With Tion, if she'd ended up saying, sorry, Dad, I just can't do it, and if she just didn't end up doing it, it wouldn't have been the end of the world. I might have felt a bit, you know, raw because she didn't trust me. I might have felt that. But it wouldn't have really mattered. But with God, it does. With God, it does. we'll talk about that a bit more in a bit. Now, there's a really famous verse in the Bible that talks about the gospel. It talks about why Jesus came. And I'm going to give you the reference. Some of you, I think, will probably know it. So put your hand up if you know it. It's John 3:16. If you think that you can say John 3:16, put your hand up. Rachel. It starts with 4. Not the number 4. For God. Will I come back to you? Okay. Thanks, Jonathan. Oh, very well done. Okay, that's excellent. All right. It's a really encouraging verse, isn't it? It's a really encouraging verse. It talks about how much God loves the world and what he did in sending his son Jesus. So this verse is actually surrounded by some other really good verses as well. So we're going to read... that was the demonstration. We've had that. we're here. John 3... I'm sorry, Deb. I'll read it to you so you can hear it. All right. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God.
Son of God.
That's right. And so it starts with those words, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, those of you who, well, unless you know the Old Testament really well, that might be a bit confusing. So I want to tell you the story so you won't be confused. There was actually an occasion, we talked about the Red Sea, God opening the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went through it. Well, after that, the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness. They went through the wilderness. And as Moses was leading the Israelites through the wilderness, the Israelites got sick of it, and they rebelled. God had supplied all of their needs. He'd given them food to eat. There was a special food that came down from during the night. It was like sort of came down with the dew, and it was all they needed to live. He provided them water, everything that they needed to live, and yet they complained. They complained and cursed God for taking them out of Egypt and for forcing them to wander in the wilderness. And even though God had shown his mighty power to them, they rebelled against him. And so God punished them. He allowed poisonous snakes to come into the camp. And those poisonous snakes began biting people. People began getting sick and dying. And so they then soon realized that this was the judgment that was sent on them for their rebellion against God. And so they came back to Moses, and they said, please pray to God and ask him to remove the snakes, the serpents. And so what happened was Aaron was instructed to make up a huge bronze serpent and stand it up on a pole, a huge pole. And if anyone got bitten, they're instructed to look at the serpent on the pole and they would be healed. And so what does John mean when he says, as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up? Firstly, the Son of Man means Jesus. It means God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
God's Son.
That's right. So this was basically a parallel of Jesus on the cross. In the wilderness, to be saved, the people needed to look to the serpent on a pole to be saved. They needed to trust in God's word to be saved, for them to get well again. Today, if we desire to be right with God, if we want to be saved from our sins, we need to look to the cross. We need to believe and trust that Christ will save us from our sin. And so then you have this second section there where it talks about, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So that last bit shows that God wants the world to be saved. He actually sacrificed his own Son to achieve that. So it's something that God wants. We don't have to work for our salvation. We don't have to do all sorts of... we don't have to succeed in passing all sorts of exams or in physical sort of tests to achieve salvation. It's a gift. God has given it to us. All we need to do is to believe and trust in Christ. But as we've seen, as we saw with that demonstration, that can be a scary thing to do. It can be a scary thing to do, to put your faith and your trust in a God that you can't see, that you can't hear, that you can't touch, that you can't taste, that you can't smell. Well, that might be true, but it's actually scarier if we refuse. It's scarier if we refuse. Tian didn't refuse to fall backwards. As I said, if she had refused, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But have a look at verse 18 in relation to what if we refuse to believe in Jesus. If we say, no, I've heard you talk, Ken, not interested, I've read the Bible, I see that what you're saying is true, the Bible says that I need to repent of my sins, trust in God and believe, I don't really want to do that, what does God's word have to say in response to that? That's verse 18. He says there, he who believes in him is not condemned. Okay, so if we believe in him, we're not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, the word condemned there, another word for condemned might be, you might be able to use the word damned, okay, damned. Now, it basically means there's no more hope, okay, there's no more hope. Now, in this last week, we had Andrew Chan and Myron Sukumaran face the firing squad. Or was it this week? Actually, sorry, it was a couple of weeks ago. I was in Vanuatu when it happened. And the state of Indonesia damn them or condemn them to death when the judges declared their sentence over 9 years ago. So over 9 years ago, they were damned to be shot. They were condemned to be shot. And that earthly damnation or that earthly condemnation took place on the 29th of April this year, and they were shot. And you can imagine what a horrible experience that would have been for them waiting to be shot. But if the reports are true that both of them were Christians, became Christians in prison, which they certainly seem to be true, then that earthly damnation was the end of their damnation. There wasn't any more damnation. There's no more condemnation for there's no more condemnation for either of them because they looked to Jesus. And because they put their faith and their trust in Jesus, there would be no more condemnation for them. And so at the very time when they were shot, at the very time when they received their earthly damnation, from they would have been transported into glory by their Lord and Heavenly Father. And so thinking about that is an amazing thing, because we need to think not only about the fact that we are living our lives here on this earth, there is a life that will follow. And we need to think carefully about whether we are prepared for the life that will follow. Is there another condemnation for you, or is there not? Now, there were eight criminals who faced the firing squad on that day. Now, for any of those eight facing the firing squad who had not come to Jesus, the Bible actually confirms that they remained condemned even after their earthly death. John says it quite clearly: he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So I want you to think carefully about those things. So, you know, when we're here, we're talking about, yes, choices we make in life, but there's one really big choice that we need to make. It's an important choice, and we're being pushed in one direction. We're being told what choice to make. We're being told to make the right choice. We're being told to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in one sense, it's not hard. It's not hard to put your faith in Christ. It simply means allowing yourself to fall into his hands. That's what it means. It means allowing yourself to fall into his hands. It means putting your life in his hands and trusting in him for it. And the consequences of that are so beneficial. The consequences of that are so blessed, and they are eternal consequences that will be forever yours. So in this series, we've talked about choices. This is the ultimate choice. I exhort you to make the right choice with your spiritual life. Join with the biblical characters in Hebrews 11 and step out in faith, knowing that God will catch you and that he will look after you when you put your faith and your trust in him.